he already forgot it. So. Everybody here is probably aware October was the Pastor Appreciation Month. Even though this isn't October anymore, we have a small token of appreciation to give to, we were going to give it to both pastors, but Joey is not feeling well this morning. But I think I speak for everybody in here, Larry, when we say that everybody appreciates the tireless effort that you and Joey both do. And it's just, it's one of those God things. God sent Larry to us, and it's just been fantastic that what he has done for our church. So we thank him for that, and we thank Joey for that when he came on board. And we do have a small token of our appreciation. So.
Thank you. Y'all can be seated. I can't believe Dickie forgot that. Bless his heart. I'll need to find me a new helper. Jan and I want to thank all of you for cards and calls and gifts that you've given us for Pastor Appreciation Day. We are very humbled by that, and we are grateful to be your pastor. We love being here and ministering here, and I pray that this is where we will be raptured by the Lord. I don't want to die. I just want to be raptured by the Lord. But I want to be here. Whether it's rapture or death, this is where I'd like to be, because we feel like we're where God wants us to be. So we love you, and we thank you for everything you do for us. And God bless you. And we look for many more years together. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Penny. You didn't forget anything else, did you? Okay. All right. Turn it over to Miss Penny.
Woke up this morning, looked outside, and saw that blue sky. Oh my goodness, it was absolutely gorgeous. Of course, the leaves were whipping across the window, but it was absolutely beautiful, that blue sky. And so we're just so happy to be here, where we can gather together and draw strength from God and draw strength from each other to go through this week and handle the things that are set before us this week. We're going to sing up for our hymn of praise this morning. We're going to sing an old familiar song, it is well with my soul. And I hope that whatever it is that you have on your hearts this morning, that you can just find it well with your soul, that you'll allow God to let it be well with your soul. So let's stand and sing.
I know the bulletin said that Brother Joey would be praying, but like Mr. Craven was saying, he's feeling sick today, so I'm sorry you get stuck with me. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for letting us be able to wake up on this beautiful morning and be able to come here to worship you. And just please wrap your arms around the congregation, Lord, and just heal all the sick, heal all the hurting, and just let us open our hearts for worship. And please be with Pastor Larry as he gives his message, and just be with us. And please forgive us for our sins. In our name I pray. Amen.
For our offertory hymn, let's stand and sing just one verse of In His Time.
Before Kenny leads us, I wanted to read you this, just because of what we experienced this last week and the song we just sang. The writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, says this: to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to be healed, time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gather and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. As we come together today, this is our time to worship. Regardless of what you have faced or are facing, today I hope you will open your hearts and receive the Lord so together we can worship Him, because He is truly worthy of our praise and our honor. Brother Keeney.
Our offertory scripture comes from John 15:16. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Would you pray with me, please? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today with gracious hearts, just thanking you for all the many blessings you give us each day. And Father, thank you for each one here today. And Father, we pray for those who are unable to be here. And Father, I ask a special prayer today for those families of those who have recently lost loved ones. Just help give them healing and just give them the time to be with them as they heal. And now, Father, as Larry brings the message, I just pray that something we learn from the message that we will use in our everyday lives. And now, Father, as we bring the tithes and gifts, I just ask that those gifts be used in ways that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. trusting in His grace is how? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Jesus shed for me. It was way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Will never lose its power. The blood that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power. No, it will never lose its power.
Thank you, choir. If you have your Bibles while they are coming down from the choir loft, if you'll turn to the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning with verse number 14. For those folks who had planned on coming to the Hallelujah Night Festival and all the activities, we apologize. We felt like the best thing to do was to cancel, just based on all the things that was taking place with two deaths and two meals at the church, one on Thursday and one on Friday, and then it was just, there was so much stuff that was going on, we really felt like we would be doing a disservice to our folks to try to ask them to do more, knowing that a lot of them would come back for the Hallelujah Night on Friday night after a pretty full couple of days. So we felt like it'd be better just to cancel it, and I'm pretty confident that your kids probably got more than enough candy in going to the other places where they went So we apologize for that, but it was just one of those things we felt like was in the best interest of our church. Let me just remind you to please continue to pray for those families, Thelma Love's family, and for Miss Irene Kennedy's family, for the Lorraine DeLoach family, for Kelsey Cooper family. Also, Ralph Johnson told me this morning that one of his sisters, Miss Thelma Barnett, passed away in the Abingdon area, and her service will be sometime in the early part of this week. So please pray for Ralph and his family and the passing of Miss Thelma. Also, Arthur Emerson told me this morning he had a great granddaughter, Cambry, who has been born and is in the hospital in Roanoke, Korea, and that she's got a virus. And so if you would please pray for little Cambry and for the parents and for the grandparents and for the entire family. I know that they would appreciate that. Also, I have had people ask me about Brother Joey Via and how he is doing. I talked with Joey several times this last week. Joey has said to me that the doctors told him he would be at the hospital in Charlotte until he received a heart. He's been moved up to the top priority list, and that to bring him back home would bump him back down to the secondary list. And they just feel like it's imperative that he get a heart. He may be there a week, a month, 2 months, we don't know. But he is going to be there unless things change until he gets a heart. You can send him cards. You can call him on his cell phone. He'll talk to you in the ICU. I mean, so you can communicate with him. If you get a chance to go up, I know that would bless him. I hope to go visit him this week. So please don't forget him and Betty and remember them in your prayers. And also, if you get a chance to drop him a card or give him a call, I know that would encourage him while he's going through all that. So please keep him in mind. I know that you probably think about him a lot, but maybe to go a little bit extra and call him or send him a card, I think that would really encourage him a great deal to know that his church still is thinking about him, praying for him, and certainly still loves him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings on our time together. Father, we come to you this morning acknowledging that we are weak. Our bodies are weak. Our hearts are weak. Sometimes, Lord, even our faith is weak. We're human. We struggle in this life. There are things that happen that we don't understand. Things that we don't agree with, things we don't like, but things nonetheless that we can't change. So the only recourse we have is to just trust you. And because we are human, that's not always easy. I pray this morning, Father, that you'll help us. Help us to truly be people of faith that believe when the believing is not easy, that trust when everything else around us would cry out that we turn away. Help us, Father. Help us to be more than what we are. Help us to be what we are capable of being. Followers of Christ, completely surrendered to His Lordship, trusting in every way and in every circumstance. Help us this morning, Father, as we pray for our friends to pray in faith, realizing that you have a plan and that your plan is always, always best. Even though we don't agree, even though at the time it may cause us pain or sorrow, because you are God, because you have complete knowledge, it's the best. For those, Father, that have experienced the passing of loved ones, we pray for comfort and peace that can only be described as supernatural, divine, from their Father in heaven,
encourage them and strengthen them and aid them, Father, as they try to just cope with life, adjust to the passing of a loved one. Take care of the responsibilities and the demands that must be addressed when someone dies. But not just the things that we have to do in life, but the feelings, the emotions, the faith that drives us and keeps us close to you and in your will. Help us with all of that. Because sometimes, Father, it's just too much even for our faith. I pray, Lord, for little Cambry. I pray, Father, that you will touch her body, that you will give the doctors wisdom to know what the virus is and then help them to treat it accordingly. And we pray you will take the doctor's efforts and the medications and the prayers of all your people, and you will raise little Cambry up, and you will make her whole, and you will give her a long life and help her to become a woman of faith that will make a difference in other people's lives. Please, Father, be with her and with her family, her parents and grandparents and siblings, and just encourage them, Father, with your presence, and bring to them others who will lift them up and encourage them as they support them and pray for them, Father. Thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for giving us a chance to love each other and care about each other. And I pray, Lord, that while that's not the absolute best thing, we pray you will use it to be a very good thing in the life of your people, to bless them and strengthen them during some difficult and challenging times. Lord, I know that Ralph's grieving over the passing of his sister, but I pray, Lord, that you will just comfort his heart and encourage him at Miss Thelma's homegoing. And I pray he will find peace and power in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and for agreeing never to leave us, regardless of whether we're at our best or not. And I pray, Father, that we will feel your presence among us this morning. And I pray that we will know that you are speaking and stirring and helping each of us. Bless this time, Lord, as we get into your word. Use it to change our hearts, challenge us where we're living. Help us, Father, to be a difference maker in this life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew, 17th chapter, verse number 14. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Interesting passage of Scripture. And I saw some things in it this week that I had never seen before. And so I'd like to just kind of address it with you today as we just talk about this passage and what's taking place. And remember the summer prior to my 11th year, my 11th grade in high school, several of the guys from the football team went to camp. It was in the foothills of North Carolina, and toward the end of the week, one of the things that we were all required to do was we had to climb a mountain that was on the property there. Now, we had been working out twice a day, sometimes three times a day, early morning after lunch and then the evening after dinner. And so toward the end of the week, we were pretty tired just from working out in the summer. But we were just all expected to climb the mountain and come back down. And I remember starting out, and of course there's always those who want to be the first ones to run through the banner and the first ones to do everything. They wanted to be the first ones to climb the mountain. I really didn't care about that stuff. I was just hoping I could get up and get down. And so I remember climbing the mountain, and it started out okay, but the farther we went, the steeper the mountain became. And as we got towards the crest, I remember that my legs were just burning. They were hurting so bad. And other people had already reached the top and were coming back down. And I was thinking, I'm going to be here come dark. I'm never going to get up this thing. My lungs were screaming for air. And I finally got to the top of the mountain. And I stayed. You could only stay for a little bit because you had to get back down. And it was several thousand feet. This was not a little knoll that you had to go over. It was big. Or at least for an 11th grader, it was big. A chubby 11th grader. Now I'm a chubby 58-year-old. And it still would be big, but it was big for me then. And I remember I stopped for a little bit, caught my breath, my legs kind of quit hurting, and then I headed back down. And I finally got down to the bottom of it, and I thought, whoo, I hope we never have to do that again, because that was probably the hardest thing that we did during that week, was to get up and down that mountain. And I was just glad they didn't cut the lights off and I had to spend the night up there. But throughout the years, we faced something like this in our personal lives. These moments when we have to scale something that is so challenging and at times so physically or emotionally or spiritually demanding that we're just not really sure we can scale it. We're not sure. We're willing to give it a try, but we're wondering, what do we do if we get halfway up and we realize we just can't go on anymore? There are a lot of things throughout our lives here on earth that we view as mountains, that represent mountains. Problems to be solved and obstacles to be overcome, crosses to be carried and burdens to be borne, troubles to be triumphed over, the difficulties to be dealt with. Day in and day out, we face these obstacles that are before us that when we first see them, we're just not sure whether or not we can get over those or not. And the truth is, we dealt with several of those this past week. Death of people that we care about. People that we've loved and ministered with and ministered to. And when it came right down to that moment, we were helpless. Completely helpless. We couldn't do anything. I mean, we could pray, but we couldn't change it. We couldn't make it better. We couldn't, there have been times, and I'm sure probably you have done the same thing. There have been times when I have prayed, Lord, I wish you'd give me the ability to heal. Just let me be able, I don't want to do it for everybody, but in this instance, I'd like to be able to lay my hands on these people and pray for them and they be healed. And at some point, he may do that. I don't know, but to this point, it's not worked. We've prayed for people and they have passed. And then we deal with the remnants of that passing. And it's just not easy. I don't think it's intended to be easy. I don't think it'll ever be easy. Not even with the Lord, it's not going to be easy, but it will be manageable. But whether it's death or sickness or troubles or financial crisis or family crisis, all of those things are going to be mountains for us that we face at some point in time in our lives. None of us are immune from that. No matter how close you and I get to God, we're not going to avoid those just because we love God and we're close to God. We're still going to struggle with those things because that's the problem with humanity. We're in a fallen world and we're a fallen people and we are going to deal with these issues. We have to. We have no other recourse. And I want you to notice something about this. Jesus says here that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, But I'm just going to suspect, I'll just say to you that I suspect that that is the smallest seed there is. It's about the size of a pin. It looks like a little speck of a dust or a piece of dirt on you. You would never know it was a seed if somebody didn't say to you, this is a mustard seed. It is so small. And yet he says here, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, and he may have meant a literal mountain, but I think he meant any problem that is before you, you can say to this, be moved out of my way. And if you've got the faith of a mustard seed, it'll move. Not gigantic faith. Not the kind of faith that you and I have seen other people in envy. Oh, I wish I had that person's faith. Oh, I wish I could be like them. They just are able to trust God for everything. Just the faith of a mustard seed. And remember, this happens after the Mount of Transfiguration. They had gone up on the mountain, Peter, James, and John. They had seen Jesus in all of His divinity. It shone through Him. And they saw Him glow with His glory. And they come back down the mountain. And as soon as they come back down the mountain, they are met by people who have needs. And these guys are on this spiritual high. We have been on the mountain. We have seen the glorious Christ. There's nothing that we can't do. Amen. That sounds dangerous. And yet, they bring an epileptic boy to the disciples and they can't heal him. And I bet that was discouraging. Because they were high, they were pumped up. Jesus had just shown Himself powerful. And they're probably thinking, we can do anything. We're with Jesus. There's nothing that's going to be impossible for us. Because we've seen Him in all of His glory. And the first thing that happens, they can't take care of it. The father is so desperate, he brings the child to Jesus after the disciples haven't been able to. And Jesus just says to them, here, you're a faithless and a perverse generation. If you would just trust and believe just a little bit, things could be taken care of. And he healed him. And then he said to his disciples, guys, believe. A little bit of faith, just a small amount of faith, can do enormous things. But that's not how we think, is it? We don't think about the small faith and how it works. We think about large, magnanimous faith, the kind of faith that people display at times, and we're like amazed by it. How can that person have that kind of faith in that kind of situation? How can they cope with it like that? Because of their faith. We want that faith. But Jesus said, if you'll just have small faith, it can make a difference. But how does small faith make a difference? Let me give you some things to think about. First of all, small faith moves mountains because it changes us inside. See, we think about faith affecting circumstances. And when faith doesn't affect the circumstances, we're like, oh, okay, so there's not much to this faith thing. Because I believed and nothing happened. Maybe that's because faith first must affect us. It needs to make us different. It needs to give us a different perspective on life. It needs to give us a different perspective about God. It needs to change us inside first. If it doesn't, then there may be times when us attempting to express our faith may do more harm to us internally than it does good. Because we haven't begun by looking at faith from an internal perspective of what it does for us. You say, well, Pastor, what does faith do for us? Well, let me give you some things. There are many, but let me give you a few things. First of all, faith brings us to and keeps us in Christ. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter said, when I believe, I came to Christ in faith. And then my faith in Christ kept me in him in those times when I went through trials, when I didn't know what was going on, why God was doing something, how things were going to turn out. My faith in God kept me in Christ. That's what faith does. Yes, it brings us to him, but it also keeps us in him. And I think there's a key to that. Your faith, if you're going to stay in Christ, must not be a faith that's just aimed at circumstances. Not just to believe that God can do something or will do something, but it is faith in God the person, in the character of God, and how God loves us, and how God works for us and in us. It's keeping faith that God is God. It's knowing in our heart that we can trust Him, even though we don't always understand. It's a faith in the person, in the character, in the ability of God to do what's best for us when what we see doesn't seem like the best for us. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. Not just faith to believe Him to heal somebody or fix a problem or help you feel better. Faith to believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's the kind of faith I think Peter was referring to. Faith also increases our hope in trials. Peter again says in 1 Peter 1:20, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I believe that your faith can be damaged and your hope remain intact. If your faith is in the person of Christ and not just in the work of Christ, not just in the ability of Christ, but in the attributes of Christ. I believe that we can have hope even though the circumstances may not lend themselves to hope. The other week, before Brother Robbie died, I went by his house on Sunday afternoon, went by his house on Monday. And as I was driving home, after being there for several hours, my prayer had been, up to that time, Lord, you can heal him. I know you can heal him. I have seen it. I have read it. In my heart, I know you can do this. I'm asking you to heal him completely, totally, perfectly. That afternoon, as I rode home, my prayer was, Father, I don't believe you're going to heal him. Not the way I want you to heal him. So I'm asking you to be gracious and kind and bring him to you soon and make it easy. My prayer changed. My faith altered. My hope never diminished. Never. God was still God. Brother Robbie asked me one time. He said, Brother, if God doesn't see fit to heal me here and keep me here, are you going to get mad at God? And I said to him, you know, dude, I can't be mad at him. I have no right to be mad at him. I would be appalled at myself if I were mad at him. He's blessed me. He's taken care of me. He's given me things I never dreamed I'd have. And just because this doesn't work out the way I want to, can't be mad at him. I just got to keep trusting him and loving him. Faith increases our hope in trials. Faith keeps us close to the Lord. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, prayed in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. We have a hand in that. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Faith provides a strong witness. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, only in Macedonia, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we don't need to say anything. That's what Paul was saying to the Thessalonians. We don't even need to witness because your life has been a witness. How you've lived before others is a witness to them about your faith. And faith enables us to overcome. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It's not what on the outside that matters so much as what's on the inside. What we believe about God and what we believe about His ability and His attributes, that's what matters. Years ago, George Mueller, who was a wonderful preacher, but he also had numerous orphanages. He just believed God for everything. He would have no food, absolutely no food, and no money, and he would pray, and a milk truck would break down in front of the orphanage, and they'd say, well, we got to use the milk or it's going to spoil, and they'd bring the whole truck of milk into the orphanage, and the kids had milk. It happened numerous times because he prayed. This is what he said. God delights to increase the faith of His children. I say, and say it deliberately, trials and difficulties and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. We should take them out of His hands as evidences of His love and care for us in developing more and more of that faith which He is seeking to strengthen in us. When we begin our journey, all of our faith is small faith. But when we begin it, small faith is enough. Small faith will help us to achieve what God wants us to do, to experience life at the level God wants us to. So there's nothing wrong with small faith. At some point, it grows. It has to grow because faith exercised grows. But even then, there are some times in our lives when we come across an incident where even though our faith is large in every other area, it may be small in that area. You may be able to believe God for your healing, but you might have trouble believing Him for your finances, or vice versa. There's small faith that with things that come up in our lives, but we at least have faith that if appropriated, it becomes larger and helps address the issues of life. Small faith moves mountains because it changes us inside. Secondly, small faith moves mountains because it expands the possibility of life. And another passage of Scripture in Luke's Gospel, don't turn there, just let me read this to you. In Luke chapter 17, there's another occasion when there's an issue that comes up with the disciples. And this is what Jesus says. This is after the parable about the rich man and Lazarus, the story about rich man and Lazarus. He said to His disciples, it's impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown to the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Not talking just about children, but people of faith. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times, and seven times in a day, he says, you should forgive him. And then he says this in verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And later on down here, they actually say to the Lord, increase our faith. You have the faith to forgive people of things that you think right now you could never forgive them if you just appropriate faith. You see, faith enhances the possibilities of what we can experience, of what we can accomplish, if we will just have small faith. He said, you can say to this mulberry tree, which was a pretty good sized tree, to get up and be moved, be uprooted and go somewhere else and be planted. And it would do that. Any obstacle, any problem, he said, if you have small faith, you can use that small faith to change it. Faith increases our options. There's always the option. Whenever we go into a circumstance that looks very challenging and difficult and we're thinking there's no way out, God is always the option through faith. There's always another opportunity. There's another possibility of what God might be able to do. There's another solution around the corner. And whenever there's a solution, the problem itself changes somewhat because we're thinking there's a solution. We have extra possibilities because God is on the scene. You and I can believe Him the way that these guys could have believed. And they could have said, well, we're in our own power, we can't do this. But we know that God, through us, can empower us to heal this epileptic boy. But they didn't have enough faith to believe that God could use them. And they must not have had enough faith that Jesus could, because they didn't think to bring him to Jesus. The Father had to bring him. So evidently, their faith was shattered when their faith was destroyed in themselves. That we can't do it, so what? We no need to mess with it. We can't fix it. But Jesus is the possibility. Whenever you read the Scripture and it talks about a challenge or a difficulty that somebody's facing, and then you see that one little word, that three-letter word, but. Thank God for the buts in our lives that say Jesus is there. There's another possibility. Here's a solution we haven't thought about. Why don't we try this? When God gives us another solution, when He brings to us another possibility, we embrace that because in that there's hope, because we believe. Even though we're not sure, we believe. It might be small faith, we believe. The possibilities with God are unlimited. I love the story about Hudson Taylor, who started the China Inland Mission, where he was ministering to folks in China. And it was not easy. The culture, as well as the language barrier, as well as the financial barrier, there were difficulties and challenges. And there was a time when he wrote to his wife, "We have 25 cents. That would have been disheartening had he stopped there. But he said, "We have 25 cents and all the promises of God." Now that, folks, is faith. And that's what he asked us to do, because faith, even small, brings possibilities to the forefront and enables us to think about things that we couldn't think of on our own, and we're certain can't do it on our own. But there's faith there that's saying, but what if? What if God moves? And what if God answers? And what if God comes on the scene? Things change. Because God is there, and the possibilities are limitless. Before creation, there was nothing. And God spoke, and boom, it was there. Now, you might choose to believe evolution. And if you do, God help you. Because I can't look at life and think of anything other than a very, very creative creator. Someone who had a plan and knew how to bring it about. He spoke it. There was nothing. He spoke and it was there. When they were fleeing, when Israel was fleeing from Egyptian bondage, and they came to the Red Sea, and there it was. It was the high season. The rains had come. The river was overflowing. There was no way they could cross it. But God parts the water. The Bible says they go across on dry ground. Mary was a virgin. And God said, "You're going to have a son." She said, "What? A son? Doesn't it take two to do that? And I'm still a virgin." And he says, "That's okay. The Holy Spirit's going to come over you, and you're going to have a son. And you're going to call him Jesus." And it happened. And we could go on and on. Jesus died on the cross. All hope was gone. 3 days later, the tomb's open. Jesus is walking about alive. There's always possibilities when there's Jesus. Just a small amount of faith moves mountains. And then lastly, small faith moves mountains because it connects us to the mountain mover. I like this one. I have been in those situations, sat in those hospital rooms. I have watched people who had given up on their loved ones. I've had them come to me and say, Pastor, what should I do? With tears in their eyes. And I would say, you need to pray and do what you believe in your heart they want you to do. Knowing that if they remove life support, someone is going to leave this world. And then wanting to cling to life, and at the same time, not wanting to put their loved ones through it. I have been in rooms where someone would crawl in the bed with their loved one as they were passing and just hold them. I have been there and seen those moments. And I'm telling you, there have been times when God's presence permeated the room. It was just full. There was something that came over people. There was a peace. There was a confidence. There was a settling in their souls. They were able to deal with it at that moment. No, it wasn't any easier, but they were able to cope because a presence came and just said, it's okay. We're here. We'll deal with this together. Our faith brings God into the picture. It connects us with Him. That's why the Hebrew writer says it's impossible to please God without faith. Because faith makes us believe that He is. It's who He is. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith brings us to God, keeps us close to God, connects us to His heart, and helps us to deal with life in the most challenging and difficult of circumstances. Have you ever noticed how often God moves on mountains? We think about them as challenges and difficulties. Remember, Isaac was saved from sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Remember, it was Moses who met God on Mount Sinai. Jesus was transfigured on Mount Hermon. He died on Mount Calvary, and one day He's going to come back and put His feet on the Mount of Olives and split everything open and set up a kingdom. Amen. Thank God for the mountains. Thank God for the difficulties, because it brings God to the forefront and says, trust Him, believe in Him, love Him, follow Him. That's what mountains do. They're not bad. They're not to hurt you. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's because He wants you to be close and intimate to Him. And you can't do that when life is just easy breezy. That's what we want. But that's not when we're close to God. When it's all easy breezy, we walk away. We go our own path. We do our own thing. We give little thought to God. But when we are struggling and going through difficult times, God is real and God is near, and we embrace Him. That's exactly what we need. And He said, small faith brings you to God. It keeps you close. It magnifies God so that He is bigger than the problem. And that's what we need. Small faith really is effective, isn't it? Do you have small faith? Small faith. Do you have enough to believe and trust, even when you can't see or understand? I'll leave you with this poem. It's an old one, but I love it. And I'm not even sure who the writer is, to be honest with you. But here's the poem. Lord, I've never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster wouldn't move a small anthill. Yet I'll tell you, Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of knowing Thee and for all the mountain moving down through life You've done for me. When I needed some help, You lifted me from the depths of great despair. And when burdens, pain, and sorrow have been more than I can bear, You have always been my courage to restore life's troubled sea and to move these little mountains that have looked so big to me. Many times when I have had troubles, and when bills I've had to pay and the worries and the heartaches just kept mounting every day. Lord, I don't know how You did it. Can't explain that the wares or whys. All I know, I've seen these mountains turn to blessings in disguise. No, I never moved a mountain, for my faith is far too small. Yet I thank You, Lord of heaven, You have always heard my call. And as long as there are mountains in my life, I'll have no fear. For the mountain-moving Jesus is my strength and always near. The God of the Bible dwells on the mountains. He lives on the mountains of our lives. It's God that makes the mountains. It's God that moves the mountains. But don't ever forget that our God is a mountain. He's a mighty tower. He's a strong fortress. He's everything we need in this life if we'll just put small faith in Him. Edmund Hillary was the first man that climbed Mount Everest. Was asked one time by an interviewer about his passions for climbing the mountains. And this is what he said. It's not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves. For you and I, it's not the mountains so much that are the greatest obstacle. It's us. Because we have the ability to overcome the mountains if we will just believe with small faith. Because small faith changes your perspective on life. Small faith creates new possibilities in life. And small faith will connect you and I to the God of life. Give Him your faith today. Small as it may be, give it to Him. Because it will make all the difference. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to You this morning. And I ask You to please be with us in these closing moments. I'm sure all of us have thought about times when our faith was so small, we felt ashamed of it. We just couldn't trust You for what we wanted to. We just couldn't seem to believe. Father, take our small faith and do miracles with it. Take our small faith and change us. Take our small faith and increase the possibilities of solutions. Take our small faith. Bring us closer to Your heart. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to just join us as we sing together, Just As I Am. I just want to do Just As I Am, folks. We are just who we are. That's it. Be who you are. Own who you are. Big or small faith, it makes no difference. Just point it toward Jesus. Let's all stand together and sing, Just As I Am. If you've got a problem, you've got an issue, you've got a mountain, what a great time to get rid of it. What a time to look to the God of the mountain maker and mountain mover. Sing that first verse together. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb. Ladies, will just keep playing. Bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to get ready to go. Ladies, just continue to play. Every one of us has problems. Every one of us has issues. Sometimes I feel I am the most inept, uncapable guy. And then something inside of my heart says this. You might be, but you belong to Jesus. Amen. I belong to Jesus. You may not like me. I may not be the best at everything, or may not be the best at anything, but I belong to Jesus. And if you belong to Him today, it's the same for you. Whatever you're facing in life, He cares about. He probably cares about more than you do, because He knows more about it than you do. You don't have to leave with a burden. You don't have to carry a care. You can turn it all over to Him and say, Father, here. And I love the word Abba. It's used several times in the Scripture, because Abba in the Aramaic is our word, Daddy. Daddy. Daddy God, please help us. He will help you with whatever. If you've got small faith, He'll help you. If you have no faith, He'll help you if you'll just let Him. Why won't we let go and turn things over to Him? Why do we keep struggling when we don't have to? The opportunity is here, and it's now. You can be released from burden. You can be overcome by the power of the Spirit's presence. You can be empowered to do anything and everything that God wants to do in your life if you just let go and let God. Won't you do that this morning? Listen to the Spirit, to that voice that speaks to you, and do what He tells you to do. You just close your eyes and pray, and I'm going to sing. I'm without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Will you come today? Will you come to Jesus? Whatever it is, if you need to be saved, come to Him. If you need to be forgiven of something, come to Him. If you need help with a problem, come to Him. If you need answers, solutions, come to Him. He's here. He wants to help. Won't you trust Him? Please come to Him today. Amen. I want to introduce someone to you, but you already know her, but I'm going to introduce her because that's what we do. This is Lisa. Most of y'all know Lisa. She was raised up here as a young person. Lois, her mom, was a member of our church and went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. And Lisa has been attending faithfully now for several months. And she has come this morning. She would like to move her membership from McCabe Baptist Church back to her church family here at First Baptist. And so I would like to know what the pleasure of the church is. I have a motion, a second. All in favor, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to let Lisa go to the back, and I want you to hug her neck and welcome her back home to our family and just celebrate this time with her. Okay, so you go back there, sweetie. Mark, if you'll kind of help her and show her the way and kind of encourage her back there. Thank you guys so much for being with us today and for coming. If you're a visitor, please come back and join us again. Please don't forget about our people that we need to pray for. We have services tonight at 5 o'clock. Come and join us as we continue our studies in the Minor Prophets. Let me have a blessing for us as we leave. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for allowing us to enter Your very presence in worship. And as we leave, Father, go with us, protect us and guide us. But most of all, Father, keep us close to Your heart so that other people see Jesus in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Bless you, folks. Have a great afternoon.